And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I am Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back to this undefeated preview edition as the Gophers travel to New Jersey this weekend in an attempt to go 7-0 for the first time since the year of our Lord, 1960. That is 59 years if Minnesota is able to achieve a victory this weekend. But Luke, before we get into it, do you want to give the folks a word from our sponsor?
Yeah, if you have a sheet of paper and a pencil, I highly suggest you write down this promo code. It is SHELLED5. What is that going to get you? That is going to get you $5 off either the game preview or the tailgate for the Goal Line Club. The Goal Line Club sponsors our podcast for the entire 2019 season. You can sign up for events that and many other events like the preview and the tailgate and many other events or perks at goalineclub.org. I highly recommend you do that. It is a great way to support Gopher football and obviously, by transitive property, supporting our podcast as well. So, again, SHELLED5 to save $5. Again, you cannot be a member of the Goal Line Club to take advantage of that offer.
Is it SHELLED5 or SHELLED with an E?
Oh, man. I think it's SHELLED. I will double check here for sure.
Sounds good.
It looks like I'm going to probably have to type this in and actually confirm it. I have SHELLED with a D. SHELLED5. That good?
You tell me. I don't know.
Yeah, SHELLED5. SHELLED. 5. The number 5. Yeah, SHELLED5. All right, everybody. I hope that's sufficient amount of time for people to actually write that down. SHELLED5. And if you don't get it, it's because Maryland are the Terrapins. They have a shell. There we go.
If the people don't get what a Terrapin is, I think we have to be having a completely different conversation with some of our listeners. But before we get to Maryland, Minnesota first has to go to Piscataway, New Jersey, to take on what I think is one of the worst teams in all of Power 5 football, the Rutgers Knights, or the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, Luke.
Have you happened to look at the ESPN FPI prediction for
No,
this?
Not since they've been most recently updated. I would have to imagine Minnesota's like a 91% favorite to win this game.
Well, you were not nearly optimistic enough. 94%.
So 94. This game's in ESPN's mind, in theory, 100 times this game is played at home for Rutgers. Minnesota wins 94 of them. That seems like a pretty good percentage chance to me. Plus, Minnesota is currently a 29-point road favorite, which
that's
is
wild.
Absolutely wild. I don't know that I have the cojones to take someone as a 29-point favorite, considering Minnesota could win 35-21 or even 42-14, and you would still lose your money. Mm-hmm. So that we'll get into that a little bit later, though.
All right, let's talk a little bit quickly about injuries. There are a couple to note here. I don't know if we're gonna know anything because of how coy PJ Fleck and the Gopher staff is about injuries. but Daniel Faalele missed the last game. We saw Kokeef go out. We saw Jake Paulson go out in the last game. Remind me of who else I'm missing off the top
Benny
of our
Sapp.
Head. Oh, yeah,
Benny
he didn't
Sapp.
Play either.
Yeah, he normally is on a couple special teams. He wasn't dressed. So I don't know what you guys want me to tell you, because I can tell you what PJ Fleck said, but I also will tell you it doesn't mean anything,
right?
Essentially. I guess the only thing that I would take away from the injury updates that Fleck gave on Tuesday was he confirmed that Daniel Faalele was practicing, which, if true, that's a big step forward, because Faalele did not practice last week from what I've heard from my sources. Concussion protocol, did not practice. You don't practice, you don't play. So if Faalele did indeed practice, that would tell you he's probably going to be in the offensive line rotation this weekend against Rutgers. Kokeef, according to PJ Fleck on Tuesday, did not practice. It sounds like he's in the concussion protocol as well. To be honest, Luke, they don't need him this weekend. Get him feeling good in the head before Maryland. You know, you hope it's a short-term deal and he's able to go this weekend, but the way things went with Faalele last week, I bet you Minnesota's going to be extra careful with Coe, considering how vital he has been to their potent running attack of late. Mm-hmm. Jake Paulson, according to Fleck, did practice on Tuesday as well. Sounds like he's got a little bit of a shoulder stinger. He was held out of some drills. And then PJ Fleck also mentioned how Benny Sapp is back. Now, I will always throw caution to the wind, because what Fleck says isn't always true. You'd be shocked to hear that, because we don't get to see practice reports. We're just taking him at his word. You remember last week on Tuesday, Fleck said about Daniel Falele, yeah, he's good. He's back. He's ready to go. And he is well aware when he said that, that Daniel had not practiced to that point and did not practice all of last week. So we'll see who kind of goes out there on Saturday. That's the biggest thing when everybody's asking me about injury updates in the Twitter machine or Gopher Illustrated. I'm going to have to tell you, I'm not going to know, because Fleck likes to keep injuries, especially injuries, under wrap. And the sources are on my staff are very, very tight-lipped about injury things. And I guess rightfully so for them. They want every competitive advantage that they can get. And if they, you know, if I put it out onto the GI message boards, they know that other staffs do indeed read that. So we'll see at 1:45 Central Standard Time on Saturday who is dressed and ready to go for the Golden Gophers.
All right. Equally as worthless and probably frivolous are depth charts. But at the end of the day, it's something we probably should touch on. Probably the main thing that I want to get to is John Michael Schmitz. He started this last game, played arguably one of the better games that an offensive lineman has played, at the University of Minnesota this year. So curious to see, is he going to be the solidified starter at center, or what are your expectations?
Well, if you ask Derek Burns, and if you haven't already, go listen to the breakdown podcast where Derek said that that center performance from John Michael Schmitz in his first career start was one of the best center performances he has seen a Gopher center play since Greg Esslinger, which, no pressure, John Michael Schmitz, your first career start, and you're getting compared to a Remington Trophy Award winner. No pressure. So you look at the depth chart, and as Luke mentioned, John Michael Schmitz for the previous week was listed as the starter at left guard, center, or right guard as an or with Blaze Andrews, Curtis Dunlap, and Connor Olson. Now he's just listed as an or at center, I believe, and Axel Rushmeyer, a local kid, a local walk-on, is listed as the number two at right guard. Nate Umlor is listed as the number two at left guard. I put absolutely zero stock into any of this because I can absolutely assure you if something were to happen to Curtis Dunlap, Axel Rushmeyer in no way, shape, or form is going to be going in the game. It would be Connor Olson sliding over to guard and John Michael Schmitz coming in at center. So we have to talk about the depth chart. Well, I guess supposedly we don't have to talk about the depth chart, but that's really the only big change from the previous week. And I will say, Luke, maybe this is finally the week that we will get to be able to see who the number two quarterback is, but I'm not entirely sold that we'll also be able to see that, but we can get into that a little bit later.
All right. I guess maybe we should get into when the Gophers are on offense. When you look at this Rutgers squad, they have struggled defensively, and that's probably putting it mildly. On the season, they're giving up 36 points per game. They're giving up, 450 yards of total offense.
Was that all?
Yeah, that's all. 241 through the air. 209 on the ground. Let me just go through some points they've given up in Big Ten play so far. They gave up a 30 spot to Iowa. Mm-hmm. They gave up a 52 spot to Michigan. They gave up a 48 spot to Maryland and 35 to Indiana. Woof,
indeed. It's not great, especially when you look at Minnesota's offense. On the flip side of things, now, Luke, I'm going to throw some stats at you, and you're not prepared for them, so I really enjoy this game, and I think our listeners do too.
I think some people like it. I personally don't, but we can continue.
Minnesota has scored 112 points in their first three Big Ten games. They put up a 38 spot against Purdue, 40 against Illinois, and 35 against Nebraska. Minnesota last scored 112 points in their first three Big Ten games in what year?
You know, some of those Mason years were pretty good, so I'll go 99.
1934, Luke. Just 5 years since Minnesota has last put up 112 points in their first three Big Ten games. The 112 points is the most for Minnesota since 1916 as well. When the last time that happened, Minnesota scored 130 in their first
Is Ryan Tibbetts feeding you this stuff again? I've never met Ryan, but I'm going to send him a really stern, like, mean email here soon.
It's in the 9 things you need to know that I don't think really anyone looks at when they put it out there. So I want to make sure that Tibbs, who is the assistant SID for Gopher Football, knows that those hard-earned, you know, hours he's putting into the Gopher historian and trying to dig up all these fun facts, that people actually get to know them so that his hard work doesn't go unnoticed.
Hey Ryan, I want to give a shout out to Tibbs again, but hey, Tibbs, if you could send me the email too, that'd be great so that I wouldn't look like a doofus every time Ryan asks me these ridiculous questions, but continue.
All right. Minnesota has scored at least 28 points in all 6 games this season, which is something that has not been accomplished since what seasons?
I think you said this on the breakdown, and I've already forgotten. I think you said it was pre-World War II, so I'm going to go 19.
Pre-World War I.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to test my history knowledge here. I'm going to go 1913.
1905 was the last time Minnesota scored at least 28 points in their first 6 games of the season. I mean, it's absolutely wild when you get into the stats that Minnesota is currently putting up offensively. And the final one I'll throw at you guys is Minnesota has scored 408 points in their last 12 games. Happens to coincide with the last 12 games or the first 12 games that Tanner Morgan has started in his Gopher career. Minnesota is 10-2 in those games. When was the last time, Luke, that Minnesota scored 408 or more points in their last 12 games?
I'll go back to the Mason years, 99.
2005.
Okay, so I did get the Mason year right.
You certainly did.
Thank you.
Yes, you certainly did. But when you look at how things kind of shake out for this game, and we'll get into it in my keys to the game, this is a horrendous, horrendous Rutgers defense. And as bad as their offense is, or excuse me, their defense is, their offense is even worse. Whether you look at through the air or whether you look at on the ground, this is a Rutgers team that is not very good. Luke mentioned it to start. Rutgers has played 4 Big Ten games and have given up 165 points in those 4 Big Ten games, meaning they're averaging to giving up to a Big Ten team over 40 points per game. Have I mentioned to you yet, Luke, that Minnesota is averaging just north of 35 points per game this season?
Yeah. Statistically, this on paper is just a terrible, terrible matchup for Rutgers, you know, defensively.
Especially the way that they've been playing of late.
Yeah.
They have scored a total of 7 points in their last 3 games. 7 points against Maryland, Indiana, and Michigan. Now, you can say, well, Michigan's defense is nothing to play around with. I agree. But I don't think Maryland defense is that great. They just gave up 40 to Purdue, and Rutgers accumulated 7 points, and then Indiana shut them out. So when things on offense for Minnesota are going, I think that especially this week, maybe you try to do a little bit more through the air. Now, I know everybody enjoys ground and pound, and I do as well. I love watching Shannon Brooks. I love watching Rodney Smith, Mo Ibrahim be able to get to the second level, be able to get to the end zone, but you're facing a horrendous pass defense. We're talking about, and this is one of the weird stats that I dug up when I was getting into this, where no defense in the Big Ten has seen more pass attempts than Rutgers. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's wild because they have been in such positive game scripts against this defense. What I mean by that positive game script means you're winning. And so when you're winning, say you're up 14, 17, 21 points against Rutgers, in theory, you should be running the ball because you're just trying to kill the clock and get out of there and get a win. But no team has seen more pass attempts than Rutgers, and they've given up. No team has given up more passing touchdowns than Rutgers. So when Minnesota's on offense, I'd love to see Tanner Morgan, especially early in this game, be able to connect with Tyler Johnson, Chris Ottman-Bell, Rashad Bateman. Maybe you sneak in a tight end target back to Jake Paulson to have him get right back on the horse after dropping that sure touchdown last week. They're going to be able to get things going on the ground. I really don't have any qualms or any worries about that, I should say. But I would like to see Minnesota get it going through the air, because Minnesota's offense right now, their last 3 games, they've passed for 400 yards and they've run for 300-plus yards in the other 2. They're performing at a high level, going into this Rutgers game. I really don't see that stopping going against a Rutgers team that just frankly isn't very good. They fired their head coach. They have they benched their starting quarterback, who's now going to redshirt. They have their offensive.
Sitkowski's going to redshirt? No.
So this, when we did this in the preview show back in August, Luke.
Yeah.
You remember what this game was going to be? It was going to be the battle of IMG Academy.
I know.
Because Zach Anikstad beat out Arthur Sitkowski. Oh my goodness.
You're having worse problems than me. I can say Sitkowski.
Oh,
I didn't read it, but
bugger off. Get out of here. I know. I don't have time for this. So Anikstad beat out Sitkowski at IMG Academy. He actually got, because Anikstad beat him out, Miami pulled Sitkowski's offer. And then everybody's former favorite head coach, Jerry Kill, took him at Rutgers. And now Sitkowski got Chris Ash fired.
Just like, can we pause there really quick? This is another Jerry Kill miss, you're telling me? At quarterback,
I'm not trying to throw shade at a different school,
but like, just look at his
back, dude. Look at the head coach.
Look at his numbers. He's 44 for 68, 429 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. Like,
you should look.
That's Streveler-esque. Actually, but dude, Streveler was legit at South Dakota. He was super legit. And is he still playing in the Canadian Football League?
Yeah, it's almost like maybe Jerry Kill and Jim Zabrowski didn't know what they were doing with the quarterback position. We're getting sidetracked.
I know, sorry.
We'll get into it in the keys of the game, but Rutgers defense is just horrendous. And I shouldn't say that. They're bad, but Luke, when Minnesota's on defense, the Rutgers offense is much, much worse.
Yeah, so when we look at Rutgers on the season, they're averaging 11.8 points per game. They are averaging 266 total yards, 161 through the air, 105 on the ground. Conversely, the Gophers defense has been pretty good in Big Ten play, Ryan, probably arguably much better than in non-conference play. This, again, does not match up well for Rutgers. Stop me if I've said that already.
In Big Ten play, their stats look even worse. Rutgers is averaging 1.8 points per game. 1.8. They have scored a total of 7 points in 4 games. They are being outscored by 158 points in 4 games. It's just, it's not great. it's really, really not great. And I mentioned they benched Sitkowski. They put in a freshman by the name of Johnny Langan. In his last 2 games, he's completing 48% of his passes with 0 passing touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Luke, I'm going to save that stat. I told you a little bit earlier today what he did in the passing game against Indiana until the keys of the game.
Yes. But
I don't know how else I can lay it out that they lost. Their starting quarterback's going to redshirt. Their best offensive player is a running back by the name of Raheem Blackshear. He played 4 games, saw Chris Ash get fired, and then he said, hey, I'm not playing in any more games. I'm going to redshirt and see who the next coach is, and he's going to get my eligibility. So you don't have a very good quarterback. Your best offensive player is redshirting, and now you're throwing out there some guys that just frankly aren't really getting it done right now. This team is struggling, and I think that's putting it mightily, but this is absolutely a game Minnesota should win, and they should win by 20-plus points, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, like, I'm thinking about the guy that's redshirting. Is he thinking that he could transfer and get eligibility?
It could be a transfer thing, too. I mean, whoever comes in at Rutgers, that's
right,
just a job that is not desirable to me anyway, or should it be to really any Big Ten coach. You have to go play in the East, in the Big Ten, where you get Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, every year, every single year. So even if you have a really good year and you lose to those four, you could go 7-5, and everybody's like, well, yeah, you're a 7-5 team. What does it matter? And I guess my point would be it really doesn't. And that's why I don't think, as the Big Ten divisions are currently aligned, I have absolutely no idea why you would take a Rutgers or a Maryland or an Indiana job unless they're paying you boatloads of money to do so. Because, you know, in 3.5-4 years, your record isn't likely going to be good enough. And you're just going to get fired anyway. So unless you have a good agent that's going to get you a good buyout, I'm not entirely sure why you would want a job like Rutgers, but
Dude,
I guess we'll see if Greg Schiano wants to go back to his old old stomping grounds.
You took my joke. Like,
chop the wood, baby.
Yeah. When is Schiano coming back to resurrect what once was? Do you think he can get PJ to be the offensive coordinator for him?
I think my favorite response to that would be Shiraka last week saying, you know, PJ's not normally going to be the guy that's going to go drop new passing concepts or new run plays. But damn it, if there's not a better coach in the country than coaching coaches, and just saying that he knows how to manage and that he's the
sure.
And what we've talked about on this podcast, I think PJ Fleck is the modern day college football coach. He does three things really, really well. He markets the program. People are talking about Minnesota and the Row the Boat brand that maybe Minnesota hasn't been talked about in a while. He knows how to coach coaches and keep them all on track and making sure that they're progressing on their game plan and moving forward in the right direction. And he puts a ton of time and energy into recruiting, something that the Gopher football coaches of yesteryear didn't do as much. And that's why you've seen Minnesota sign in 18 and 19 their best recruiting classes in back-to-back years in the internet era. So we can get into that a little bit later.
All right, let's get in another word from our sponsor, the Goal Line Club. Ryan, we've talked a lot about how it's lazy man tailgating to go to the Goal Line Club tailgate, right?
It certainly
the
is.
The other thing that people don't keep in mind, if you're coming from out of state, this is an opportunity to go tailgating without having to do the work of trying to find a tailgate spot, right? Getting one online or getting it through the university. One, renting a vehicle, you can Uber there and you don't even have to Uber or Lyft, you know, whatever ride share preference
you
have.
Or you could take one of them fancy scooter things now that all
the kids
are doing.
Dude, did I tell you that I had to explain to a person from Nebraska as I was walking away from the tailgate how the scooters worked?
You're so young and hip.
Dude, I'm not.
I don't care what anybody else tells you the rest of the week. You are younger than you look, and you know what the kids are into. So,
but okay. But seriously, lazy man tailgating, legit food, good drinks, insomnia cookies, indoors, real plumbing. The tailgate is legit. Now, just real quickly, Ryan, give us a spiel on the preview at Jack's Cafe. I wasn't able to make it, but I am not going to miss this next one.
I learned a ton from Jim Panikos. And so it's at Jack's Cafe. It's on the Friday before Maryland. So that would be the 25th. What it is you go there, you have lunch, it's catered, and then Minnesota sends a coach there. So it's been Joe Harris-Simiak. It's been Jim Panikos. And they break down tape for you. And even for someone like myself, I'd like to think that I have more knowledge than the casual fan in terms of what Minnesota is doing on whatever side of the ball it is. But being able to see the all 22 and being able to hear the position coach break down his position with film examples. And even Panikos was hands-on with people in the audience. You can ask them a question at any point in time, and they will answer. And it's access to a position coach that knows what's going on. You can learn more about the Gopher defense and be the smartest person in your friend group, in your tailgate group, or just to have a better knowledge of what's going on there. I mean, I think that film breakdown itself was well worth the $25 or $30 it costs to go there. Now, I know that everybody doesn't have that much time on a Friday potentially, but if you do and you can spare an hour and a half, I mean, that I thought it was incredibly informational at that Friday lunch.
All right. So if you want to save $5 and you're not a member of the Goal Line Club, use the promo code SHELD5. We talked about it a lot before. If you've forgotten, just rewind this episode. We talk about it a bunch. We even spell it SHELD5. Okay, so let's get into this game, getting into some betting specifics. The line right now that I see is 28.5. You said you saw 29, right? In favor of
either
the
or Minnesota's a 4-touchdown favorite, however you want to look at it.
Which is wild, right? Just wild. The Gophers on the season are 2-2-1 against the spread. Rutgers is 1-4 against the spread. If we're looking at the weather in beautiful Piscataway, New Jersey, it looks like it should actually be a great day for football on Saturday. Keep in mind, this is subject to change. It's going to be a 3:30 kick out there on the East Coast, about 62-ish degrees at kickoff. The sun will set about 6:13 p.m., so about 5:13 here. And end of game should be in the high 50s. But fairly beautiful. I'm not seeing a ton of wind. It should be
bottom
pretty
low. Bottom line is it should be beautiful fall football weather. 60 degrees, sunny, light winds. It's going to be the opposite of what we saw last week. And the long-term forecast, and as you listeners know, we don't really like to get into weather specifics in terms of specifics, that being, but generalities, even for Maryland next week, it looks like 45 degrees and sunny. So for those of you who are trying to convince a buddy or two or trying to convince your better half to come out to the game with you in Maryland to watch a hopefully a 7-0 Gopher team, it should be much better weather-wise than it was last weekend.
All right, Ryan. So before we get into your keys to the game, can you give us a quick word from Burns Insurance?
Yes, the Burns Insurance Agency owned by my father, Bill Burns, is predicting a Gopher win this week. Now, the Gophers moving to 7-0, an undefeated 7-0. That would be the first time that happens since 1960. And just like the Gophers are averaging 475 yards of offense, the Burns Insurance Agency routinely saves their clients at least that amount on their home or auto insurance. Now, his many business accounts, they're averaging nearly three times that savings. So we're talking $1,500 to $2,000 a year on their business accounts. Now, being a local independent insurance agent in downtown Oakdale, Minnesota, he's offering great savings, great coverage, and above all else, great service. So here are the keys to the game. But if you want to learn more about the Burns Insurance Agency and support another Gopher fan who can potentially help you save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, go to insurancebyburns.com, Luke.
All right. So, Ryan, most people probably aren't going to travel out to Piscataway, New Jersey. They'll be watching the game on the Big Ten Network. I guess for me, I just want to start off by saying this is maybe one of those classic trap games. The Gophers have to travel a decent distance. Big Ten teams notoriously are much worse going to the West Coast than the East Coast. But it's easy to get have a let up when there's a big when there's a lot of travel involved, right? So this number one, when you're traveling to a tough opponent, don't overlook them and don't let the elements affect you in terms of the travel. But what are your keys to the game?
Well, you kind of stole my thunder there, because
yes,
the number one key to this game is don't play down to the level of your opponent. Because when you look at it statistically, it's frankly wild at how bad Rutgers has been in Big Ten play. They've played four games against Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, and Maryland, and the stats are not pretty. Rutgers is averaging 1.8 points per game in Big Ten play while giving up north of 41. They've been outscored 165-7. It's comically bad. The Scarlet Knights are averaging 166 yards of total offense in Big Ten play. That's last in the Big Ten. While they're giving up nearly 500 yards per game of total offense to opposing offenses, and that's third to last. Their run defense is hemorrhaging 5.4 yards per carry with 10 rushing touchdowns, while the Scarlet Knights offense has yet to pass for a touchdown, despite having the uberest of uber negative game scripts in four Big Ten games. Now, maybe the craziest out of all to this, we mentioned it earlier, is no team has faced more pass attempts in conference play than Rutgers. They've been outscored by 158 points in four games. 158 points. So, you know, you'd think teams are just burning the clock on the ground, but they're not. They're just not. So before they get dismantled and obliterated, they have to do it through the air first. Now, Big Ten teams are averaging 291 yards per game via the pass against Rutgers, 9 yards per completion, fourth worst in the Big Ten. And I mentioned this earlier as well. No team has had more passing touchdowns against them than Rutgers. They have 10 passing touchdowns against them, which is two interceptions. So if you've been wondering how in the world is a Minnesota Golden Gopher football team a 30-point road favorite, that's how. But in the words of Gopher football coach P.J. Fleck, you cannot let circumstance dictate your behavior, which means that Minnesota, under absolutely zero circumstances, can play down to the level of their opponent on the road here if they want to be considered serious Big Ten West contenders. Rutgers is a bad football team that has already fired their head coach. You cannot get complacent. You cannot have a letdown game against an inferior opponent if your P.J. Fleck and his team has to be ready to go at 2:30 Central on Saturday. My number two key to the game, Luke, is Minnesota's offense and defense have to keep their foot in the gas pedal, because for Kirk Ciarrocca's offense, it has to be status quo. and you can scroll, you know, you can listen back, I should say, and look at the numbers that this Gopher offense is putting up right now if you want the complete details. But the 112 points they've put up in their first three Big Ten games is the most they've put up in that span in 85 years. 85 freaking years. And now they're facing a defense that's giving up more than 41 points per game. So I'd be inclined to tell you, as the self-proclaimed elite football mind, that the momentum that Minnesota has coming into this game, in air quotes, should continue Saturday afternoon in New Jersey. Minnesota's passing offense has attempted the least amount of passes of any Big Ten team in conference play thus far. But that really shouldn't surprise you, considering the really positive game scripts that they've been in the last 3 weeks and how far the running game has come specifically in the last two. But on those 52 passing attempts that Minnesota has in their three Big Ten games, they are the most efficient passing offense of any Big Ten team, and they're going to be facing the fourth worst defense in terms of passing efficiency. That's also allowed the most passing yards and the most passing touchdowns. Now, I get that the running game has rushed for 300 yards in back-to-back weeks. Rutgers is bad against the run, but like I mentioned earlier, why not let Tanner Morgan and his pass catchers get a little slice of that Kirk Ciarrocca offensive pie before this game gets out of hand? There's going to be a lot of yards and a lot of points to be taken on Saturday for the Golden Gophers offense, but I'd love to see Morgan and his pass catchers get a little bit more work than they have in the previous weeks. I also don't want you to think that I'm neglecting this offensive line that, by all indications, like we broke down on the podcast before this, where we've broken down on Gopher Illustrated, they played their best game of the season. And I want to make sure that you know that I'm not neglecting them, because I'm not, but let's make sure those guys get some work on their pass blocking reps, because they're going to be facing a tougher opponent next week when Maryland comes to town. All in all, offensively, Luke, Rodney Smith, Shannon Brooks, and Mo Ibrahim should absolutely eat on the ground for the third straight week. Now, for as putrid as the Rutgers defense has been, their offense has somehow been worse. I already mentioned they benched their starting quarterback, Artur Satowski, 2 weeks ago, and then the kid decided to redshirt. So they've been starting a freshman by the name of Johnny Langan. In those two games, completing 48% of his passes with zero passing touchdowns and two picks against what I think aren't very good defenses in Maryland and Indiana. Now, Luke, you know the answer to this one, but Rutgers last week went on the road to Indiana. They lost by 35. Langan took the quarterback reps there. How many passing yards did Johnny Langan accumulate with this Rutgers passing offense?
Well, he had greater than zero, but less than two.
Rutgers passed for 1 yard last week, and they lost by 35. Now, if you think about that, that's kind of amazing. Like, that's a great accomplishment, considering you're down by 20-plus points since the end of the first quarter, yet you only are able to pass for 1 yard on 13 passing attempts. That's mind-boggling, but it's the reality of where things are offensively for Rutgers right now. Raheem Blackshear, their best player on the offense, asked to redshirt after playing in four games, so he's not available on Saturday. So if you're defensive coordinator Joe Rossi, this cannot be a letdown spot to an offense that has absolutely been decaying further and further and every week into this 2019 season. Defensive linemen Sam Renner and Carter Coughlin were able to generate pressure last week. That has to continue on Saturday. Linebackers Kamal Martin, Thomas Barber should have clean lanes to run through to make plays. And this Gopher secondary is going to be facing a very weak passing core, especially compared to what they have faced in their last three Big Ten games. This should be a game on both sides of the ball where the starters shouldn't have to play much, if at all, in the fourth quarter. And maybe we'll find out who the backup quarterback is, Luke, even though I don't think we will. And what I mean by that is Zach Anakstead isn't expected to be back into the bowl game. We've told you that on Gopher Illustrated numerous times. He was still in a walking boot as of Saturday. The timeline for him is still sometime in December, which means Fleck doesn't want to burn one of the games on either freshman quarterback. Because why? Because he might still need them. Say Tanner Morgan gets injured against Rutgers here this weekend, God forbid, and Minnesota has to play one of those guys. Well, say it's a high ankle sprain. Well, they still want to be able to preserve the redshirt on Cole Kramer or Jacob Clark regardless. Because if Tanner Morgan, all he has to do is go in and hand off the ball like Minnesota's essentially been doing the last 3 weeks, He's probably going to be in there just to do that. Now, I don't think, like last week, there is absolutely any reason for Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, Chris Hotman-Bell, and the starting offensive line to be out there when you're up 4 touchdowns with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So hopefully PJ Fleck changes his best. But, you know, for my final key to the game, Luke, you know who I really hope changes their best for the first time this season? Gopher special teams. Because can we finally have a clean special teams game? Because if there is one area where Rutgers really shines, by golly, it is in their punting game. They have punted 35 times in 4 Big Ten games, which is 9 more punt attempts than any other team in the Big Ten. And they have the top net punting average in the Big Ten at 44 yards. That's pretty good. By comparison, Jacob Herber's Minnesota's punter is averaging per punt 37.8 yards, 5th worst in the Big Ten. And his 38.8 yard average per punt in terms of in the air, 2nd worst among Big Ten punters. So if Rutgers does have an advantage, it is in special teams. I have dedicated far too much time, in my opinion, to special teams in these preview podcasts each week. But I just want one clean week from this unit. No missed extra points, no kickoffs out of bounds, no shanked punts, no long returns, no block kicks, none of that. Just one clean week, Rob Wenger, please. Because if I have to continue to hem and haw about this, on how Rob Wenger's special teams unit continue to touch the stove each week, and I'm going to say this, PJ Fleckism again. And I know he didn't found this, but he loves to say it at his press conferences each week. If you continue to touch the stove, like Minnesota special teams continue to do each week, eventually it's going to come back to burn this entire Gopher football team. So let's hope Rob Wenger can change the best from his position group and they have their best performance of the season in New Jersey on Saturday, Luke.
All right, so let's get to predictions here quickly. Again, we noted the I couldn't find an over – or sorry, I couldn't find an over-under. Could you?
I probably can here. I think it was at like 52. Okay. But
well, I did see, I could find a 28.5.
48.
And, okay.
48.
Okay. So, predictions, I'll go Gophers 42-14.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make sure I get this right because I screwed up last week.
Yeah. And you got a lot of hate for it, rightfully so.
Oh my goodness. My bad, everybody. I'm well aware there was about 15, 20 of you guys on Twitter, which I appreciate you wanting to reach out to know what I actually said, but I am going to get this right this week. So my prediction is this game under really any circumstances should not be that close going into the fourth quarter. Rutgers has not been playing well in any facet of the game except punting, and Minnesota's offense and defense are coming off their best performances of the season. So if you're PJ Fleck in Minnesota and you want to continue to assert yourselves into a legitimate Big Ten West discussion with the Wisconsins and the Iowas of the world, this is a game you have to win, and you have to win comfortably. So the last nugget I'll leave you with, Luke, and our listeners is Rutgers defense has been incredibly susceptible to the big play. In their last two games alone against what I don't necessarily think are great Big Ten offenses against Maryland and Indiana, they have given up 8 different touchdowns of over 10 yards. Now, Rob Smith, wherever he is just giddy to himself thinking about giving up big play touchdowns as a defense, but they have given up 8 different touchdowns of 10-plus yards. So the Rashad Batemans and the Tyler Johnsons and the Otman Bells and the running backs, they should be able to get some green and they should be able to get some big plays in this game. Rutgers offense against Maryland and Indiana, Luke, managed to accumulate total offensively 237 yards in those games combined. So right, I'll also mention Rutgers special teams gave up a kickoff return touchdown 2 weeks as well. So bottom line is this should be a laugher for the Gophers on paper, but I suppose that's why they play the games. I'm sure many of you are listening thinking, Ryan, you are far too overconfident because this is a Golden Gopher football team that we have seen have let down spots year after year after year. I'm here to tell you, I don't think this is the year. I think this is going to be a year that many of you Gopher fans are going to remember for a long, long time. So I think Minnesota gets their first 7-0 start. They emerge from Piscataway victorious, and they are 7-0 for the first time in 59 years since 1960. Minnesota wins 41-10.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening to the preview. I want to thank also want to thank our sponsors, the Goal Line Club and Burns Insurance. Please support them in any way that you can. They make this podcast possible. Again, if you could rate and review the podcast on whatever aggregator you use, it's a good way for people to find us. Again, thank you for listening so much, and go Gophers.